Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I want to talk to you this morning about a wonderful and mystical place. It's a place that every time I go there, I'm just in awe of it. And every time I turn a corner and there's something new that I see, it's just like amazing to me. And it's kind of one that I don't even fully understand how they've done what they've done and why they've done what they've done. But boy, it pleases me every time I go into this place. Now you might be thinking, oh, she might be thinking Disneyland. They've got that new Star Wars land that's coming up. Nope, not Disneyland, not any of the theme parks. You might be thinking, well, maybe it's like a museum or an art gallery that she's talking about and all of the different things that you could see. And I tell you, nope, not a museum and not an art gallery. This place of wonder and awe that's just a great mystery is none other than IKEA. Have you ever been to IKEA? I mean, raise your hand if you've been to IKEA, this land of mystery and awe, right? There's nobody else that has built a store anything like IKEA. And I've been to a lot of stores. Growing up, I loved Best. You know Best? You get it out of the catalog, and then you wait for your gift to come down the conveyor belt. I mean, there's been awe and wonder and mystery in stores, but nothing compares to IKEA. I mean, they have so strategically built this store that it essentially makes it so that you have to pass every potential item that you could buy and then put together yourself as you walk through the store, right? I mean, you have to follow this path. There's no shortcuts in IKEA. But how they arrange the store is not what has me in such awe. And some of you might have missed this aspect of IKEA, but if you've ever been to IKEA with small children and particular babies, then you would know the real mystery and awe of IKEA, okay? First of all, you may have noticed IKEA is like the only store that when you first walk in, what is immediately offered but free childcare, okay? Have you noticed this? IKEA has free childcare with a ball pit in it. I mean, how have you ever thought about that? Where do you want to go on your date night? Let's go to IKEA and we can drop our kid at childcare and get some new furniture and eat some Swedish meatballs, right? I mean, it's just genius, okay, to think about how parents might enjoy their shopping experience more if their kids are able to be cared for and in a place that's taking care of them. But it doesn't end there. I don't know if you've been inside of IKEA's bathrooms, but go into IKEA's bathroom and there's a changing station, right? And this is something that almost every store has now. But if you go into IKEA's bathroom and you look at the changing station, not only is there a place to change your child, but in most IKEAs, there's a selection of various sizes of diapers in case you've forgotten one, and even wipes that you can use. To think, you know, a parent might come in and there's an explosion that happens and they learn the diaper bags run out or this or that. Oh my goodness, here's a diaper that I can use. I mean, talk about like predicting the needs. And then finally, go into like the restaurant type one, and the one here in Carson's kind of small. It's not the best of them, but if you go into one of the bigger IKEAs where they have the large eating area, they have children's play areas with children-sized tables to go with the kids' meals that they serve. But then even you will see they have bottle warmers, microwaves to warm up kids' food, and they sell baby food. I mean, how many stores go to that extent to say, you know, a parent that's here would need to warm up a bottle or some baby food, and maybe if they've forgotten it, here's some. What has IKEA done? But IKEA has modeled for us as the church what it is to have this great word called radical hospitality. What is radical hospitality? Radical hospitality is a hospitality that goes above and beyond to care for the other person, to welcome them, and to show them that they are somebody of importance. And so this morning, with IKEA as setting the stage for us, I move us into radical hospitality as a church. And to do so, I go into the book of 2 Kings to the story of Elisha, okay? And here's Elisha, who is a prophet that comes in the wake of a major prophet that most of us know by the name of Elijah. But when Elijah passed, he passed on his work to Elisha. And here's Elisha that does a lot of traveling, traveling in and out of towns, doing the work of God and being a conduit between the king and the people. And here he comes to this town with this strange name, right? Shunem. Say Shunem. You got to say it fun like that. Shunem. Anybody ever heard of Shunem? Yeah. But here he is. And he's coming into this town, and it says that there's a woman who is well-to-do. She has means. And with these means, what does she do? But she offers a meal to this traveling prophet. And by the story, she doesn't exactly know who he is spending time. She suspects that he's a holy man, some kind of man of God. But what she sees is this man that's traveling and needs hospitality. And so she begins by offering him a meal. And then she offers him a meal every time he comes through town. And so he knows when he's coming through Shunem that he's going to be able to get a meal with this woman and her husband. But then we get into radical hospitality here, don't we? Because that's one, to offer a meal to somebody. But then one day she looks at her husband and she says, this man, he keeps traveling through. We need to provide a place for him to stay. Up on our roof, let's build a room for him. We need to put up walls, provide a bed, a desk, a lamp, a place for him to stay when he's here so that he can be comfortable and cared for. Talk about radical hospitality. To have this traveling stranger that you get to know and to say, let's build a room for when they pass through. And we see through the story, she's not looking for anything in return. She is seeing something in him that draws her to provide this hospitality and this place for him. And even when he's trying to say, what can I give you in return? She's saying, I don't really need anything. And the only thing that comes up is that she doesn't have a son, which is something that she wants. But like Sarah, when he says, you're going to have one, she laughs and says, I'm too old for that one, right? But the prophecy comes true, and she has a son. So here we have an example of radical hospitality. Somebody that saw the holy presence of God in another person and went above and beyond to provide for them, not for something in return, but simply to fill their needs. Where does this radical hospitality come from, though? It's all throughout the Bible, over and over and over again. God calling us to show hospitality. If we go into the book of the laws, if we go into the book of Leviticus, we don't spend a lot of time in Leviticus, but if we go into Leviticus in the 19th chapter, the verses 33 and 34 say, when a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them, rule number one. But then the foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Treat them just as you would your family. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt, and I am the Lord your God. Here in the basics of laws, as God is setting up the community of Israel after they've come out of Egypt, what does he say? But he says, the foreigner that comes through is your responsibility. Show them hospitality like you would your family. And why? Because you've been foreigners. You know what it's like to be in a strange land. You know what it's like to be dependent on foreigners and strangers. And so treat them as you desired to be treated in Israel. And why does God say? Because I am the Lord your God. It's amazing how many times God says, why? Because I'm God, right? Why are you going to do this? Because I'm God. And at the beginning of Leviticus 19, it gives us even more the why. As the Lord's talking to Moses and he says, speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. God says, you are holy because I am holy. And where is God? But God is in each, inside of each and every one of us. So here as we look at this radical hospitality, we get here to the foundation of realizing just how much hospitality, love, grace, compassion, you name it, that God has given to us and that God has imparted his presence inside of each one of us, putting that power of God in us. But then as we see that power of God inside of us, that presence of God within us, that love of God within us, that grace of God within us, and we see the other, what we end up magically seeing is that the presence, the power, the love, the grace, the compassion of God is inside of each one of them as well. And what are we called to do? But we are called to take the presence and power that's inside of each one of us and use it to show radical hospitality to the other that has the presence of God within them. To say it better, I look at theologian John Piper, and on the subject of radical hospitality, John Piper says this. He says, it is the will and self-discipline to put forth energy to reach out to the other beyond normal distinctions and separations as a way to honor and support God's presence with and within them. Did you hear the magic and wonder of that statement? That radical hospitality is an opportunity for us to utilize what's in us, to go above and beyond, to be able to support God's presence within and around another person. Think about the first time you've gone somewhere. Think about a time that you've gone somewhere and you haven't felt welcomed. And think about how you felt. There's a feeling of isolation, right? There's a feeling of loneliness. Sometimes there can be a feeling that you're just not worthy enough, that you don't fit in. Those are the kind of feelings that we don't desire as human beings. We want to belong. We want to fit. We want to feel welcomed and loved. And now think of a place that you've gone into and you've felt that radical welcome. You've felt that even though somebody doesn't know you, that they have just been so excited that you're there and have just invited you in such a way that you felt immediately like you belong. When I think about this, I think about when I was in Atlanta. When I was living in Atlanta, I was church shopping. This is about the only time in my life I've ever been allowed to church shop, of being an adult and not working at a church. So I started church shopping, and I started going to United Methodist churches, and of course, I had to try Peachtree Road United Methodist Church. It's huge. It's massive. It's like 14,000 members. Imagine that, 14,000 members. It's like 2,000 people in a worship service. I'm like, I got to try Peachtree Road. I got to see what United Methodist worship on this kind of scale is. And it was like awe-inspiring. You walk into this massive and beautiful southern sanctuary. This huge pipe organ with the person behind it with a PhD. I mean, this is their world, is this organ. Of course, now I know they got nothing on Midori, right? But I mean, the massive and grand choir. I mean, the preacher that's like one of the best preachers in Atlanta. I mean, everything was in that church that you expect to be in a large and well-to-do worship service. I mean, it was just grand. And I went there, and I went there, and I went there. And I enjoyed the sermons, and I enjoyed the music, and you could feel the presence of God in it. But let me tell you something about Peachtree Road United Methodist Church. Nobody greeted me. Nobody welcomed me. Nobody found out my name. I never saw the same person 2 weeks in a row, even though I sat in the same spot each week. I felt like it was a great place to be, but I didn't feel like I belonged there. I felt like I was just passing through. And then I had some buddies that invited me to go to church with them. They said, hey, there's a friend of ours at the seminary that's interning at this church, Cokesbury Road United Methodist Church, and we're gonna go visit on Sunday. They invited us, you wanna come? It's all right, I'll go to a different road, Peachtree Road, Cokesbury Road, let's go. Well, Cokesbury Road is like 50 people, okay? It was just this little church. There were like 5 people in the choir. They called the kids forward and nobody came, so a bunch of seminary students came up and sat with the pastor. I mean, it wasn't the grand scale. It wasn't the grand sanctuary. It wasn't the grand music. The preacher was good. They were just out of seminary. But you know what? I think every person in that church greeted us and found out our names and asked us questions about us And they weren't going to take no for an answer when the service ended. They grabbed us by the hand and took us to the choir room so we could have cookies and apple cider. And they held us there as long as they could because they just wanted to show that they appreciated that we were there and wanted us to feel that we belonged. So I went back the next week. And when I came back the next week, it was, "Hey, Stacy, how are you doing? How was your test this week? Did you do well on it? Oh, you were talking." I mean, they not only remembered me, and they not only remembered my name, but they remembered what we talked about. "I've been praying for you, and I was hoping you'd be back this week so I could hear how things went." I mean, they actually really cared, and it showed, and I felt like somebody that was important and special when I went to Cokesbury Road United Methodist Church. I found out what it is to have hospitality and welcome. And so here, as we go in to this text and we read the story and we read the call to invite and welcome the stranger, even seen in 1 Peter, "Above all, love each other deeply. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling." Hospitality that's not a chore. Hospitality that's not a job. Hospitality not something that we do because the pastor told us we're supposed to be nice to people. But how do we work to actually authentically care and love the other person, seeing that they are also a child of God and worthy of belonging in the place that we are? And that's our challenge that we get called to today, to realize that radical hospitality and welcome isn't just the job of people that have been called to greet, but that radical hospitality is our job as Christians, to see another person and to reach out not only with a friendly hello and a welcome and nice to meet you, but how it is that we seek to have this radical hospitality that seeks to predict the needs of the other person and to fill them without them even asking for it. Of how it is that we go above and beyond, not because it's our job, but because God has compelled us to show the presence of God in us and to show the presence of God that is in the other person. This is what we're called to be. And there's a miracle that comes in this. Because when we show that kind of hospitality, when we show that kind of Christ love, when we show that kind of welcome, we make a radical difference in the life of the other person. But then we're also able to feel the presence of God within us and to be reminded of where we have come from, that God has seen us as the stranger. God has seen us as the newcomer. God has seen us as the visitor. God has seen us as the one that is lonely. And God has sought to reach out to us. God has sought to surround us with his presence so that we don't feel alone. That God is the one that has helped us and then gives us the opportunity to pay that forward. Because God's love and God's hospitality does not come to an end within us, but seeks to be a conduit through us. And that's our challenge of today, of how is it that each one of us seeks to live into this radical hospitality, seeks to live into a place where we are going above and beyond with energy and not grumbling to care for another, to welcome them and to show them that they belong. And there's a few ways that we can do this. One is first to recognize and acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is in us, that the Holy Spirit is present in us, and that the Holy Spirit is a gift given to us by God to enable us to do what God has called us to do. And what comes within that when we acknowledge the Holy Spirit in us, to take the next step of trusting the Holy Spirit that's within us, that it will give us what we need when that stranger, when that new person is put before us, and to entrust what that Holy Spirit compels us to do, to trust that when we seek to welcome them, that Holy Spirit is going to guide our words and our actions, that Holy Spirit is going to help us to know what that other person needs And when we feel that tugging, to be willing to trust it and to go with it, to know that God is not going to allow us to fall on our faces, but that God is going to allow us to succeed because it's following the call of what God desires for us to do. And once we've acknowledged the Holy Spirit, and once we've trusted in what God has put within us and given us to be able to do, then there's this incredibly powerful spiritual gift that we've been given that we employ. And that powerful, amazing, priceless gift that we've been given is the gift of listening. The gift of listening. We're often so good at talking. We're often good at telling our story and who we are. But one of the most powerful things we can do is listen to the other. And listening isn't just with our ears, but listening comes with our eyes and our hearts as well. To go back to Elisha and to see that that woman listened to the needs of Elisha. He didn't have to say, "Man, I wish I had a place to live when I came through here." But she saw what he needed and she fulfilled it. How is it that we work to really, truly, and deeply listen to another person, to hear what they are saying, both with their words and in between their words? And then when we do that deep listening and able to process what they're saying and what we're seeing, how it is that we seek with God's help to respond to it, of how it is that through that listening, like those folks at Cokesbury Road, that we have the ability to be in prayer for somebody and to respond. How we have the ability to remember what they have told us and being able to use it so that they know that we cared enough to remember and to think about them. How it is through that listening that we can predict what they need and try to give it to them before they even have to ask. That shows that deep hospitality that I'm trying to provide for you, and you don't even have to ask me for it. And with this listening and with this trusting, one of the most important aspects of radical hospitality is how we become open and vulnerable to another. In our world today, it is so easy to become isolated and inward focused. How easy it is to have our place and to be secure in it, and I'm okay with just me right here. I don't need any more than this. And I don't have to open myself up to be potentially rejected or hurt or mocked by what I do. So I'll just stay right here, right? But God, in this radical hospitality, asks us to move into a place of vulnerability, to be vulnerable enough to be the one that extends the hand and invites another to get to know us, to be vulnerable enough to invite the other to allow us to get to know them, a vulnerability that says, I always have room for another person in my life. I always have room for another brother or sister in Christ. I always have room for another friend, because we can't have enough in this world. We can't have enough meaningful connections. We can't have enough punches on our friend card. And we never know what gift God might be giving us in the person that's standing right beside us that needs us to be the one that's vulnerable, that reaches out and invites them in. There's a power that comes in that. And it takes that vulnerability. It takes that aspect of us putting down our shield and being willing to allow the other person to see who we really are and to model to them what we would like them to do for us, to be vulnerable with us, to allow us to get to know them, and for us to connect through the power of the presence of God in each and every one of us. Here at Torrance First, we have that opportunity every week. There's a person sitting on your right and the person sitting on your left. For most of you, some of you might have to go like across the aisle to get to somebody to your right or to your left. A person behind you, a person in front of you. How well do you know each one of them? Have you invited them in to journey with you through life? To be willing to let them know what's going on with you and to invite them to know, to invite them to let you know what's going on with them. That when somebody new walks in this church, are we showing radical hospitality in how we welcome them, get to know them, work to predict what they need to know, and how it is that we show them the presence of God through each one of us in this place? That radical hospitality is a place that we are working on going in this place. This is an amazing church filled with the presence of God. And we are going to be working on seeing how it is that we maximize on that. We have a hospitality committee that has met and has talked about our hospitality here at the church and how we want to take it from hospitality to radical hospitality. And we want to enlist everyone's help. We want to enlist everyone's help in greeting people, welcoming people, and showing the hospitality of God in this place. And that starts in the pews. That starts right where you're sitting and with the people just right around you. But if you're interested in doing more than that, if God compels you to step up and do more than just greeting in the pews, we're looking for people who are willing to be outside of the doors of the church, welcoming people as they're pulling up to the church, to be that initial contact, to be that initial friendly face that makes sure they know where they go and that they're welcomed even before they come in. Looking for more greeters, looking for people that would be willing to be trained to work our new welcome table that we'll be putting in, that gives information to visitors and makes sure that they have what they need to know about this place. Looking for people who are willing to say, with God's help, I will serve to make sure that people know that they are welcome and belong in this place and that they could see the face of God through me and my willingness to greet them. For this is one of the best gifts of the Spirit that we've been given, to be able to open ourselves up to another person and to invite them into our lives, into our church, and into a relationship with God. Radical hospitality, using our energy to go above and beyond so that the presence of God can be seen within and around another. My friends, will you pray with me? Gracious and most loving God, we give you thanks for your presence in our lives. We give you thanks for the way that you have showed your radical hospitality to us, that you have seen us when we've been strangers, that you've seen us when we've been enslaved, that you've seen us when we are the foreigner, when we are the lost, and when we are the lonely, and you have helped to rescue us from each of those places. That you have surrounded us with people in our lives that have made an impact on us because of the way that they've shown hospitality to us, the way that they have invited us into their lives and into their journey of faith. We pray through the Holy Spirit that you will help each of us to see where our place in radical hospitality is, to see how it is that we can make an impact on another, how another can see your presence because of the way that we treat them and welcome them and seek to show them hospitality. We ask that your Holy Spirit will guide us in all that we do so that we can make a difference in the world around us and a difference in your most holy name. As it is in your holy name that we pray and we worship. Amen.